So good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the certification program track. Reminder to use the microphone when you're asking questions. I'm sure you'll have a lot for Simon. It is my pleasure to introduce Mr. Simon Reardon. He's been in the Australian government protective security industry for almost 20 years. He's contributed to the practical application and development of protective security policy within the Australian government since 1997. He has vast experience in providing protective security solutions in physical, personnel, and technical security fields, public service, military, scientific, and engineering environments all over the place. Mr. Reardon currently manages the Australian Information Security Evaluation Program and is therefore very well qualified to come to our podium and give us an overview of the program. Please join me in welcoming Simon.
Okay, well, thank you for coming. All right. Well, hang on. All right. Except for the Northern Hemisphere. Off we go. Like I said, so I'm Simon Reardon, and we'll just jump straight into it. A lot of the information that I've got here is freely available. It is all freely available. I won't charge for any of it on our website. So Australian Signals Directorate, asd.gov.au. And we're very fortunate to have a couple of really important things as far as I'm concerned, and that's the evaluated products list right in our front page. So they tell me that it's the most popular, one of two, the most popular clicked items, and I keep telling them that I get a very sore finger making sure that stat stays there. So a couple of things that I'll touch on briefly is the Intelligence Services Act, which is some Australian legislation, the Protective Security Policy Framework, and also the Information Security Manual. So ASD, Australian Signals Directorate, is an intelligence agency within Australia. And so there's a couple of parts within that act that give us our mandate as to what it is that we do. And I've highlighted those in black to make it easier to read. Probably should have used a bigger font, but I can see it from here. So that's to provide material advice and assistance to Commonwealth and state authorities on matters relating to security, integrity of information that's processed, stored, communicated by electronic and similar means, IT. And the other one is to provide assistance to those state and Commonwealth authorities in relation to CRIPT. So that gives us our other main mandate. So the Protective Security Policy Framework. So that's written by our Attorney General's Department. Most governments have an Attorney General somewhere, and they've got one of their many jobs is to write the framework for all Australian government agencies to try and have some sort of a coordinated approach in protecting their people, information, assets at home and whilst overseas. And it provides, you know, some policy guidance and better practice advice for those agencies in meeting, being able to meet their business needs. And so the Australian Signals Directorate has the job of writing a document that's called the Information Security Manual, and that assists all government agencies in applying a risk-based approach to protecting their information and their systems. And one of the other cool things about the PSPF is in there is a requirement that's called InfoSec 4, which requires agencies to implement, and this has only happened in the last few years, requires agencies to implement the strategies to mitigate targeted cyber intrusions as outlined in the document that we get to write. And it means they have to report that up to their minister. It also has to get, so they have to report their compliance to the InfoSec 4 to their minister, and any non-compliance gets reported through to us so we can keep an eye on what it is that they're getting up to. And so those strategies that we have, application whitelisting, patch applications, patch operating systems, and restricted administrative privileges. And these are the four things that us as an intelligence agency have seen in how our government systems get compromised. So these four things are the key things that will actually stop the vast majority of those incidences. But I guess the trick there for us in the evaluation space is numbers two and three, patching applications and operating systems, and how we very quickly fall out of configured systems. But as we always like to tell our agencies, we'd rather you patched a known vulnerability than had an unevaluated, you know, product in your system. So we stick with the patch. What do we have at one stage? It was patch, match, and catch, or something, right? It was kind of, yeah. Anyway, so the policy that, so the ISM and the way that, we can control the Australian government agencies, it covers a very large group of both government departments and, or Commonwealth departments and state, territory bodies. So it's everything from, you know, can actually be everything from local government to state government to federal government. So we're not just looking at, you know, the intelligence agencies or defence or health or education or whatever. It's actually covering the whole gambit of the government system. So whilst there's, you know, what's that, 18 departments there, and a lot of those, so the Attorney General Department includes a lot of other smaller departments in them, but there's another long list of Commonwealth agencies that there was no way I was ever going to get it onto that list, and it does it. They are actually all here, but they trundle off down. So there's, I think there's 128 Commonwealth agencies that also have to implement the Information Security Manual. And so all of those agencies also have the security classification system. And I'm sort of pointing this out. I mean, I guess a lot of governments do have something either the same or very similar. And essentially, you know, I'm trying to demonstrate that the vast majority of information that we have in the baseline of that of our classification system is unclassified or unclassified for official use only. And there's a DLM at the end there, which is a dissemination limiting marker, which could be something like sensitive or sensitive commercial, not commercial, legal, or if it's personal information. So a vast majority of government information sits down there, and obviously as you go up the rank there. Oops. So the quantity of information, you know, is at the base, and then we start getting, as the information classification goes up, we also have the requirement for a higher level of assurance. We then go in to talk about our different programs that we have and what we're using them for. And I guess we've broken it up into a basic assurance, medium assurance, high assurance, and a tailored assurance where things don't quite fit anywhere. And so we're using the Common Criteria Recognition Arrangement through the ASEP, the Australasian Information Security Evaluation Program, to provide that basic level of assurance for Australian government agencies. We then have a couple of other programs that we bring in-house, one of which is our cryptographic evaluation program. Yeah, I'll talk more about that in the next slide. And also then our high assurance program, which is also work that we do internally. And like I said, the tailored assurance program, which is also in-house, and it can be a kind of a mixture of, you know, bits and pieces out of others depending on what the use case is of a particular customer. And sometimes we might want to evaluate a product to meet a specific need, but we don't want to have it out there in the wild for everybody and every agency using because, what's a good example? A special forces unit wants a solution for something, and it might be fine in, you know, a special forces instance, but it's not going to be a great solution for downtown Sydney. I guess that's how it maps across. So, you know, for the information, as the information, you know, moves up, we've got the basic assurance that covers off that bottom, medium assurance is targeted at the protected level, and then high assurance kind of flicks between, the next three. We don't tend to have a lot of confidential systems. out there, and I think in the next update we do, confidential would disappear off the chart, and again that tailored assurance stuff can move between all of those different levels. So I guess in our scheme we are using a variety of different national PPs, most of which have come out of NIAP. We won't evaluate products against all of them. Some of them aren't quite things that we need. I know everyone likes to talk about the redaction PP, so that's one of the ones that we don't use. We would recognise an evaluation against it, but we wouldn't commit government resources in actually doing the certification of it. And obviously all the CPPs that are coming out, we're endorsing those and trying to participate in as many different ITCs as that we can humanly resource. There is a whole bunch of... We've written a whole group of position statements and endorsement statements, and I guess we four CPPs, and we're using those endorsement statements as essentially a way to show or to let vendors know that what products that we are able to evaluate within our scheme. And that's a quick grab bag of the different protection profiles that we're using at the moment that we see are most relevant for government agencies in Australia. And we add to that, an actual fact. I'm just looking there madly to see. I think there might actually be one missing off there. Oh, no, there it is. We add to that if we've got somebody that comes along and actually says, well, would you be interested in, evaluating this product? We actually, would take it on board and do it. So that kind of gets to the end of the Australian programs. It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. It's not too convoluted at all. And it seems to work. So I've got no idea how long that was. That was 10 minutes. Damn, it's 10 minutes of questions. Oh, thanks, Matt.
I'll make you work a little longer.
Okay, thank you.
You talked about the CC programs, but could you talk just a little bit about the cryptography testing that is done through DSD and all of that?
I could.
Oh, not permitted to?
No, I can't.
Oh, okay.
Where's a good point to put that on? So I guess you're talking about sort of that medium assurance. Is it that one? Yeah, that'll do. The medium assurance or the crypt eval. Look, I guess we, over time we've looked around to see what other programs are out there, and we're not immune to the resource issue that everybody else is experiencing in finding the right people to do this work. Now, there's so many different ways I can explain this. So, I mean, I guess this one. We're using common criteria to cover off on the vast majority of information that we've got. The bulk of that information, that unclassified FOUO level of information. And it's not dissimilar to, I think, how everybody else is kind of using it. I mean, obviously in the US, and you start looking into CSFC, and that's kind of bumping them up into that next level. And we've spent a lot of time looking at that program and as to whether or not it's suitable for us to adopt. But then there's a lot of environmental factors that keep cropping up that we go, that's not we can't replicate that in Australia. We can't support that, whatever, just because of the different sizes of the two nations and how they can support it. So once you start moving up into, the green, the salmon, I think it's actually officially called, and into the red, you've got a sovereignty issue that you want to try and maintain. And, as we move up into that protected space, we want to start to say, well, that's fine, we can try and get information from wherever to help us get ourselves up into there, but we still want to maintain that sovereign ability to look at our own crypt to say we're happy with protecting our information with that. I mean, you wouldn't take the work that was done, you probably shouldn't take the work that's done in common criteria against crypt and apply it to your top secret stuff, right? Because you know, we try and work together in common criteria as best we can, you know, and we've got a level of that, all the mutual recognition and whatever, but as soon as you start getting up into top secret, you know, you look at who's doing the evaluations and you just might keep that in-house. But, you know, having said that, you know, one of the things that we do try and do with protection profiles and to try and reduce the burden on ourselves is try and push as many requirements as we can into either the NIAP PPs, you know, tuck them in there nicely to go, well, if you guys do that, we'll be happy with that bit, so that when we come to do our top-up, it's much smaller. And we're going to be doing the same thing with CPPs as well. The more we can get into the protection profile and the less we have to do, then the happier we're going to be. So, I mean, most of the top-up stuff that we're looking at is around entropy, essentially. So, you know, I mean, we've kind of got some, you know, some thoughts in our head around what we think, you know, where FIPS does a good job, where Common Criteria does a good job, and what's the bits that's missing, and we go, well, it's really the entropy stuff. And don't ask me too much about entropy because that's not my specialty. But, you know, having said that, I think we're sort of talking at, well, you know, as, you know, FIPS evolves and starts to roll in a few more of these things, at some point do we get to that stage of saying, you know what, it's actually now, you know, either good enough or is it 95% good enough and we can risk manage that last 5% and go, you know what, chances are pretty low that something's going to happen, go wrong, or whatever. So, you know, I think ideally the poor kids back at our shop that we make go through the entropy and, you know, do source code analysis and whatever, are like, yeah, quick, roll it in. You know, they want to get onto the cool stuff. And that's what they want to do. They want to focus on the secret and top secret solutions, right? You know, they don't want to sit around looking at ones and zeros on, you know, and some of this other stuff that's coming through. So, yeah. Is that?
Yeah.
Cool.
Little bits of that, but that's much. I got a lot more.
Okay, good. Excellent. We're done.
Any other questions? Please join me in thanking Simon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.